Finally, this hour, an appreciation of folk singer and songwriter Kate McGarrigle. She died last night in Montreal of cancer at age 63. Kate McGarrigle may be best remembered by an older generation as one half of the McGarrigle sisters. For younger listeners, she's known as the mother of two contemporary musicians, Martha and Rufus Wainwright. NPR's Netta Ulaby has this remembrance.
Kate McGarrigle came from one of those rare families that actually sing at home.
When I awake, I think of you.
The French-Canadian sisters with the distinctive last name tapped into a deep vein of folk music running north up the range of the Appalachians past the New Brunswick-Quebec border. In 1996, Kate McGarrigle told NPR about the mountainous village where she grew up.
This is way up in the northeast corner of Quebec, just at the tip of Maine. And it has like railway tracks and kind of evergreens and cliffs and rushing rivers.
Once upon a time, two kids in love in a car, flying over mountains, trying to catch a boat, take them upriver to home.
Kate McGarrigle drew on the drama of the natural environment in her music, but also on the drama of family life. She and her sister Anna left the Montreal folk scene after Kate met and married Loudon Wainwright III. He inspired some of the songs on the sisters' first album, like the one about when he left.
Go, leave, she's better than me. Or at least she is stronger.
They're just so honest and so frank. There's a kind of candor in their songs.
Sarah Liss is an arts producer for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And like a lot of younger Canadians, she really got to know Kate McGarrigle through the music of her two children, Martha and Rufus Wainwright.
Their love and their admiration for their mother is so tremendous and so profound.
Mothering was far more important to Kate McGarrigle than a musical career. The story goes she once blew off an important concert promoter to take her kids to a puppet show. For the sisters, music was the antithesis of business. Even though Melody Maker magazine called the McGarrigle sisters' debut the best album of 1976, Kate McGarrigle ultimately produced less than a dozen records. Still, she inspired her kids to make music about her, says Sarah Liss, like one song by Martha Wainwright.
In the Middle of the Night is a big, swooping song with huge, dramatic riffs and kind of caterwauling vocals, and it's a song about her mother's struggle with cancer.
In the middle of the night comes a knocking at my door.
Martha frequently performed with her mother, as did Rufus Wainwright. Here's how he described singing with her in an interview today.
Formidable. It was always very professional, even when we were four.
Rufus Wainwright says his mother died peacefully.
It was really fantastic. I mean, of course, I wish it hadn't have happened, but she did die at home.
Surrounded by family and dear friends.
And my dad was here. We got to sing a lot of songs. And she really responded to some of them she liked, some of them she didn't.
You could tell how deeply music was in his mother's life, says Rufus Wainwright, by how it reached into her hazy state and grabbed her soul and gave her joy. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Now, many great vocal performances year after year might get onto our list of 50 Great Voices. That's the new series we're launching this morning. Over the next year, you'll hear profiles of 50 singers who've made their mark internationally and across recorded history. To get started, Elizabeth Blair, who's producing this series, explains how we came up with the list.
First, you probably just want to know who they are. Some of them are icons.
If you ever plan to motor west, looking everywhere, haven't found him yet.
But each time I tell myself that I wanna think I've had enough,
only the lonely.
And Coming up with 50 great voices wasn't easy. Step one was an on-air solicitation to the NPR audience.
People went crazy.
Franny Kelly is an editor at NPR Music who kept track of the submissions to the NPR website.
Over 100,000 people said, this person, don't forget about this person.
Among the most nominated by the audience were superstars like Josh Groban.
Children sleeping, snow is softly falling.
And superstars of another era.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars.
But, and here's where you might start screaming at us, neither Sinatra nor Groban are among the 50 great voices we selected.
No one really needs to make a case that Frank Sinatra has a great voice.
Oliver Wang is a music writer who was on a panel of experts who were part of the selection process.
If you asked me who are sort of the top 10 voices in American history, I mean, Frank is automatic. I mean, you just know it impulsively because that's been so hammered into us. And I think part of what the project should do is look at artists who are great but not necessarily as recognizable or such an obvious choice as someone like Frank.
In other words, discovery is a major part of 50 Great Voices. Note, we're not calling these the greatest voices, just great. But this might still disappoint some people. The music we love is so important to us that when our favorites aren't recognized, we get upset, myself included. Even the president of NPR, Vivian Schiller, came by my desk and asked, is Katie Lang on the list? She looked a little crestfallen when I said no. Now, of course, Katie Lang is a great singer, beloved by millions. But for the sake of discovery, we decided to spotlight Kitty Wells, considered the first female to become a country music star. Keep in mind, back then, recording technology wasn't what it is today. In the very big world of music, discovery is a tricky thing. Included in the 50 Great Voices are singers who are powerhouses within a genre, but not in the mainstream. Take classical. NPR's Tom Huizenga was on the panel.
I take the idea that even though people like Maria Callas are on the list for opera singers, certainly a superstar, I mean, she's still going to be a discovery for most people.
The bedrock of 50 Great Voices is the emphasis on singers from around the world. We wanted to find out who are the Frank Sinatras and Aretha Franklins in other countries. And many of those we'll hear about were nominated by both panelists and the NPR audience.
My name is Alex Pamphilio, and I live in New York City. I nominated Elisa Gina because Elisa Gina was technically perfect.
Correndo pela estrada atrás de passarinho.
My name is Mark Meisner. I live in Washington, D.C. I nominated Dennis Brown because I think his tone and his ability to combine kind of American R&B with Jamaican singing deserves to be recognized.
Money in my pocket, but I just can't get no love.
My name is James Johnson, and I live in Oldsmar, Florida. I nominated Feroz. I think she's the most important singer in the Arab world still singing, and she has an extraordinary voice.
Matters of taste vary, to say the least, and the 50 Great Voices panel did not agree on everything. After coming up with a pretty massive list of singers, the elimination round began with a feisty conference call. Here's one of the exchanges between panelists Tim Page, Tom Huizenga, Tom Moon, and Murray Horowitz over Freddie Mercury, lead singer of Queen.
Queen is the single worst group of the seven.
I think Freddie Mercury's got to stay.
But he could sing.
I think the phrase, but he could sing, does not qualify.
Yeah. He walks every day.
Whenever you come up with any kind of list, whether it's great athletes or great artists, there will be controversy. As one panelist put it, the 50 Great Voices series is bound to both please and infuriate. And that's partly the point. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
And it's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.